Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing the trailer that broke the internet. Avengers Endgame has dropped the official ticket release announcement trailer, and it is glorious.
All that right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/MCUcast80 and use the promo code MCUcast80 to get $20 off each of your first four boxes. That's $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go check it out. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall!
Matthew Carroll!
Man, I got my Endgame tickets. You got your Endgame tickets?
I got my Endgame tickets like 10 minutes after it got announced.
How hard was it for you to buy them? Obviously not that hard.
It was pretty easy for me because I got in super stupid early.
Yeah, see, I did not. And I ended up pretty much giving up because it was making me sit there and wait, and I couldn't. I just had other stuff to do, and so I ended up with like, it's going to be 2 hours. Like the app was telling me it was going to be so long before I could get my tickets. It was like you're in a line. It was like you're in a line. It's going to be 2 hours before you can buy your ticket. And I was like, what world is this? Like,
it is this world where everyone loves the MCU and they are right to do so.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
When I went to get my tickets, it was, like I said, it was about 10 minutes after they were announced. I always go to the direct website of the theater that's down the street from me, which is a good, rich quality theater. Very nice theater, by the way, like super nice recliners. Seats are assigned. You can, it's got a gastropub in the lobby. You can take your food and your drink inside the theater.
Right.
And
you fancy.
It's a good time.
We get it.
Anyway, so I go directly to their website and I'm like, okay, give me the GDX one, 7 p.m. on Thursday, because that's how I roll. And all of the center section, like all the way up, completely gone. And I was like, wow. Oh, shit. So I was like, row F, seats 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, sure. I was like, quick. I need these. Oh my God. Give me, yes, go.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It was honestly hard to get these tickets, and I thought that was amazing given, the world we live in today. Like, we've had a lot of, over the last couple of years, we've had a lot of movies say, we broke records for having the most pre-sales.
This one broke the internet.
Yeah, it broke all of the websites. None of the websites were working to sell enough tickets.
I bet if they had been using Azure websites.
All right, nerd. Let's move on.
Auto-scaling built in based on an understood time.
All right.
Anyway, so anyway, no, it's fine.
Given all of that, sure, you know better than all of Fandango's web developers.
I do.
You probably do. but it's just a massive amount of traffic. It's insane. So with this release of the tickets came a new trailer.
Yes. A special look. And it's only a minute long, and oh my God, it is a glorious minute.
I think this may be the first trailer that goes past the 15-minute mark. They said this one definitely goes past the 15-minute mark.
I don't know, man. There's so much movie to be had.
But there's a couple shots, even if it's just the few, like just them. All right. Them in space. The entire team off in space on the Benatar flying through space. And then there's that one shot where you can see what looks like a beaten down or at least like tired sitting Thanos in all of his armor. Sitting and leaning on his, like leaning on his arm while the Avengers walk toward him from behind,
I don't think that's a beaten down Thanos.
You think it's like a victorious Thanos?
I think it's a sitting in his victory kind of Thanos.
It could be, but he's in all his armor, which a lot of speculation goes into that, but so we're really not sure. But in the movie, it seems like he only wears that armor pre-Gauntlet.
Yeah, there was actually a message from one of our listeners was specifically talking about that. Like, as he gets more stones, the more his armor comes off.
Yeah, he doesn't need it anymore because he's just too powerful. So I think this may lend some credence to the idea that they're going back in time. Now, he looks like he's sitting atop a battlefield of some sort, like he's been through a battle. And I'm wondering if maybe they're going back to, like, what, so a previous battle that Thanos was in? Mm-hmm. I'm really not sure. Oh, man. Yep. But I just think that we're seeing some things that we haven't seen yet. And we're seeing so many visuals of the Avengers brooding.
Well, you know, they're going to brood for a little bit after suffering that kind of defeat.
Sure. It's just,
Anybody would.
It's almost impressive the amount of trailers they've released now, and every one of them has a different shot of every Avenger brooding in a different environment.
They brood a lot. They actually go to different places just to brood.
It's brutal.
That's a good one. Oh, that was so good.
Speaking of brooding, it looks like good old Hawkeye there got a tattoo.
Oh, that sleeve, sir. That was a lot of good work on that.
And I'm assuming that's probably after his Ronin days or whatever. And, like, that's part of his grieving process is getting this tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, I mean, if you pause it and look at it, it's got the armor of a samurai on it. And, you know, that's very clearly
nice.
Ronin.
I'm also going to channel our listener Ashley Coffin for this, but in the moment right after that, he looks over and sees Nat sitting in the chair, and she's back to red hair, but she has blonde, like blonde tips, as if her red hair has grown out. So that to me means that's been like what, a year or two.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Since the Avengers. Because it's not that she's dyed it. She still has the blonde at the bottom. So there's like a clear progression there, which is kind of cool. I'm really excited to see what they do with Nebula. I don't know. I don't know why. I love all the characters, but her and Rocket, of all the characters in this movie, are the two that seem to me most out of place. Because they're Guardians. Yeah. They were only in the, you know, Avengers Infinity War for a minute. And it just feels like they haven't really been a part of the overarching plot that has been the Avengers. And so, especially Nebula, not even being a hero up till now.
Yep.
It's just really interesting to see her, you know, seemingly just a full-on member of the Avengers for this, at least for this moment.
I mean, 15 seconds into this trailer and Rocket and Nebula are holding hands.
Yeah, that was quite a moment.
Oh my God, like, that kills me, like...
Their family's gone, man. Their family's gone, and all they have is each other.
Their families are gone, and they only have each other left. Oh, it's killing me.
Yeah.
Oh, this trailer's so good. I mean, and it sets the tone for how dark the theme of this whole thing is right out of the gate, with Banner saying, like, if we do this, we'd be going in shorthanded, and Rhodey says, why? You mean because he killed all of our friends?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. Yeah, that's what he means. Yes. Yes, Rhodey. You don't have to tear my heart out like that and remind me.
Well, that line is so Rhodey, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just exactly the kind of, like, no bullshit call-outsmanship that Rhodey does and has always done for Tony. And now, you know, he's doing it for everyone. Yep. It's just amazing, the world they've built, the characters they've built, every one of them feels so fleshed out and real, and now we're going to get a movie that, you know, wraps up a story they've been telling for 10 years. I'm just so excited.
I really am. Oh, man. And then, like, okay, so... sorry. Having all of the moments again, going through this trailer again, like, 19 seconds in... with Tony, like, clearly disheveled, just got off the spaceship, Tony, hugging Pepper, saying, it's not about what we lost, it's about what we have left.
Mm.
Oh, Matt, it hurts.
Hmm.
Because he's got that picture. He's got the picture with him and young Peter Parker, and they're giving each other bunny ears. And the first picture that he took with anybody in the MCU in Iron Man 1, the guy was holding up the peace sign. He said, please, no gang signs.
Yeah. That is true.
Oh, my God.
Man, so good. So good. Such a long road, such a long road, and we are so here. Man, loving it. Really excited. Anything big else stand out in this trailer to you?
Let me trip. Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically, halfway through it, when we've got an older, looking to be salt and peppery, graying haired Tony looking at Cap, saying, do you trust me?
Oh, yeah, that moment.
They're standing in New York.
Yes, they're standing in New York.
It looks like the Battle of New York is going on behind them.
Cap is in the old costume. So is this a Cap from that timeline? Like, I just don't even know.
And, no, in that timeline, Cap was wearing the bright blue suit with the cowl.
Okay. I thought he was in the older suit. Okay, gotcha.
Now, that was in the first Avengers. He got the older suit out of storage in the Winter Soldier after that.
That's right. Yeah, and when he says it, though, the way that Steve responds with the, I do, like, there's like a question in his voice. Man, it's so good.
No, it's that confirmation of, you know, I may not, you may not be expecting me to say it, and I may not necessarily should trust you, but you have been an amazing friend. I do trust you. Oh my God. And then they shake hands. I keep looking at every frame, just like, what can I pick out? What can I discern from this?
Yeah, man. Oh, so good. So good. Well, all the stuff going on and all of our discussions last week prompted a whole lot of feedback. We got a lot of people writing in this week about all kinds of things. It's very rare for us to get this much feedback when it is when there's not a new movie out, basically.
Right.
So we really appreciate all you guys writing in. It really means a lot that everybody wants to chime in and has stuff to say. And with Endgame coming up, I feel like we all just have things to say and we all want to talk about it. So we're going to dive in and try to discuss all your feedback and just kind of get into this thing. Let's do it.
All right, so Dan Hayes said to us on Facebook, so I was just listening to the latest cast about the Fox properties, and just like you and everyone else, I am stoked about getting all the characters back home where they belong. However, I'm not really thrilled at the idea of any of the characters popping up in Endgame post-credit scene. This movie is going to be the end of an incredible cinematic journey over 11 years. Let the story play out and come to a wonderful conclusion. The former Fox characters will have their time. But this is not it, in my humble opinion. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. You know, I did kind of give up that theory and give that to the world as a thing that could happen, but I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen that way.
I'm totally with Dan on this. I think it's fun to talk about the fact that it is now possible that we could get the Fox characters, and we will talk about it again. I think there may have even been other people who wrote in feedback about that very thing and like their theories of who might show up. And like, it's really fun to speculate, but I'm actually totally with Dan on this. Like, I think that it's not time. It's not time for that to happen just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Let that simmer and kind of let us think of it, what we will make of it. You know, because we're gonna have all of these different theories about what could happen, and it's gonna jazz us up, and then we're gonna jazz everybody else up, and then everybody's gonna be talking about what should happen, and then they can actually give us a story. But right now, we need to let them tell the Avengers original six story.
Yeah. Now, I'm not gonna be mad at it if they decide to do something. I just know that if they decide, if Feige and all his wisdom comes to the plan of that, like, there's something they can do that won't ruin the feeling, because I do want to leave this movie fully satisfied. I don't want to leave this movie just waiting for the next chapter. I want to leave this movie satisfied, and if the Russos and Feige come up with a way to do it, I won't be mad at them. But I can't, in all my wisdom, which is very limited, think of
in
a way.
My limited wisdom.
Right. In all my limited wisdom, I can't think of a way to pull this off well. So I'm very happy to say don't do it. But if they come up with a way, I'm not going to be mad.
Okay. So you've got Matt's stamp of approval, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a tentative stamp of approval.
Indeed.
Jeffrey James said to us on Facebook, truly great feedback cast. I think you're missing an angle, though, when it comes to speculation about where Endgame will end. There is only one piece of released IP that is 100% definitely post-Endgame. The trailer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Spider-Man Far From Home could be pre-snap. AOS Season 6 was delayed until Endgame, so the showrunner, at least, probably knows more or less how Endgame winds up. Therefore, whatever happens in Endgame is very possibly results in the advent of Coulson's evil twin. My question for you, what canonical series of events could fix the snapshot and also create an evil Coulson? Actually, never mind. He's a Skrull. Darn, I thought I had something there. Hey, maybe he's an LMD or an LMD created by Skrulls in the framework. Hashtag bring Bobby back.
I was like sitting here trying to rack my brain over Jeffrey's question, and then he answered it five different ways. That's great. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Literally anything. It's fiction.
Yeah. They've built in so many ways for this to happen.
I really think that incursions are going to be the way, the multiverse crashing in on itself. Because, like, with the show, you know, in the last season, when they were like, oh, yeah, we're in space, and, oh, my God, Mac was like, oh, yeah, space, of course, the only thing we haven't done yet. Like, that kind of goes to show, like, you know, they have to deal with a new thing every time. So they've dealt with time travel, they've dealt with space, they've dealt with, you know, all of these different things. Now they got to deal with the multiverse. They haven't approached the multiverse yet, so I think that's where they're going next.
That's true. I do like that. I do like that theory, and that is something that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been on the kind of forefront of dealing with, a lot of these sort of science fiction elements. And so I'm down.
Chris Rossi said, hi there, discovered you guys recently and love catching up on old episodes. Listened to the most recent X-Men cast and wanted to chime in. The voice after Starks on the Endgame trailer is Peggy Carter's, I believe, and I think the ant dog is Antoine. On another note, in rewatching Infinity War as a prep for Endgame, I noticed that Cap's beard in Wakanda changes up quite a bit. Never noticed it before, and don't know if you guys had. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Chris.
Let's call Ashley.
You will have forever ruined that scene for me now. Now I'm just going to like notice the beard changes.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to notice. Bring me Thanos.
No one else is in that scene but Thor for Jeff.
Yeah, it's literally just Thor destroying a bunch of Outriders, and it's great.
Oh, so good.
How much for the arm? It's not for sale. Jake Brook says to us, my favorite music drop is the DJ AM mix that starts with Another One Bites the Dust by Queen and ends with Robot Rock by Daft Punk in Iron Man 2 when we first see War Machine at Stark's drunken B-Day party.
Yeah, that was fun. Again, it's always fun when I just really love when they make the music drops part of the scene.
Yeah, and that one was one of those really good ones because it was two robot-covered dudes duking it out. Really, they weren't even like using the full powers of the suit. They were just like punching each other, and those punches were just perfectly timed with the music.
Yeah, it was really good. That is a great one. Good call.
I think we should make a music, like, favorite drops music episode. Just like specifically for all of these.
Well, we got a lot of responses on that. So I think might be exactly what we're doing today. A lot of people are like, oh, this music drop, that music drop.
Yeah.
Some of these I'm like, I don't even remember that one.
was there music to that?
There's 22, 23 movies now. It's hard to remember every little music drop, but.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
There's some good ones.
Sarah Elizabeth King said, don't know if this has anything to do with the new movie and name, But I thought it was interesting. Completely forgot that scene.
Oh, yeah. She was posting the scene about in Ultron where Tony mentions...
Where Tony said, that up there, that's the end game.
That's the end game, yes. And I think it definitely relates to the new movie. I don't know that when they wrote that scene, they knew the name of the movie yet. But it definitely relates.
Yeah. Well, Age of Ultron was kind of infamous for being one of those movies that kind of handcuffed the writer and director into doing, you know, a very specific set of things. Like, you have to do these things, even though he didn't want to.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So, and it's a bummer.
Could have.
Because I'm sad they lost the Whedon.
I also am sad that we lost the Whedon, but... The Russos have really done a fantastic job.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think they do... It's hard for me to say they do a better job than Whedon, because I really love what Whedon did. Even rewatching Ultron. Ultron is really a good movie. I don't know. It's almost like Whedon has a certain sort of auteur sort of flavor to him. That, like, I don't know. He does weird things sometimes that I'm, like, not expecting. He, like, the deliveries and the way they put certain scenes together, I'm like, man, that's not how I would have done that, and it's really cool. But the Russos do such a good job of just, like, making these huge movies, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of that is very based on what Whedon did in the very first Avengers. Certain moments are so much like that, but I just, the Russos, everyone they've done has felt so big and sweeping and serious. I just love it.
Yeah. Going to the point of Ultron being actually a good movie that everybody shouldn't be so down on, at work, very frequently, I'll be, you know, trying to do something, trying to get some piece of scripting to work, and it won't work. And I'll just be like, shit, son of a damn it! And just, like, get very frustrated with it because I've been staring at it for freaking 6 hours. And the older guy that sits behind me will just be like, language? And I'm like, nobody's going to address that Cap just said language?
Oh, man. Tonight, I had a bunch of people over at my house. And my friend called me. She was like, hey, I'd love to come to your party, but I have my 10-year-old with me. And I was like, well, I mean, like, it's kind of your call. Like, I don't really care if you bring a 10-year-old, but it is an adult party. There will be adult beverages for everyone, and everyone's going to be sitting here drinking and playing board games, and, you know, I'm not going to, like, police everyone's speech or anything. Like, it's fine. Like, whatever. But you know, it's your kid. You raise them how you want. You guys are welcome. We're not going to be mean to you or anything to them or anything. But you know, it is an adult party. And she was like, "Oh yeah, it's fine. It's fine. She's totally fine." So she got here, and then this little 10-year-old girl was in the room, and she kept going, "Language."
Oh, that is so good.
And early on, someone mentioned, she was like, "Can I have a milkshake?" And I was like, "Well, I don't have a milkshake. I have ice cream." And she was like, "Great, ice cream." So I made her a bowl of ice cream. And then she kept saying language, and I was like, finally, I was like, all right, you stop saying language. You're in an adult party. We say bad words here. I was just being silly. I don't know. I was picking on her. And then I was like, how about this? You get a scoop of ice cream when we hit. It'll be like your swear jar. And so every time she'd say language, someone would just look at her and go, ice cream, and just point her at the fridge. And so it just became like a, this was literally like 2 hours ago, it just became like a whole thing where language, ice cream. Like, don't talk to me, just go eat some ice cream.
Right.
Such bad
parenting?
Such bad, like, communal parenting, because it's not like we were all parenting her, but, like, yep. It's not bad on her mother is a fine mother and all, but we were all being kind of bad, because we're all, you're at an adult party, we're not going to check ourselves for you, you just get some ice cream.
I'm just going to buy your loyalty with ice cream.
Yeah, it's really funny. Language, ice cream.
Yep. So, the other thing that Sarah Elizabeth King said right after sending us the scene in Age of Ultron. It says, "But did you see the new trailer they posted this morning? Oh my God, I'm crying!" Mm. All caps, of course. It says, "I keep thinking they can't surprise me anymore, but then they post another trailer. I'm way too hyped. I can't wait to hear your theories and nerd out on them after this trailer in the next podcast."
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here to deliver, Sarah.
Here it is.
Thank you, Sarah.
We also got Joe Ketchum says, "I have a theory about why Nebula appears twice in the Endgame trailer. I think the trailer is modified to cover someone up, and I think it's probably Shuri. I bet the first trailer was also altered to tell us that she's missing, but she's not."
I love this theory, because I love surprises, and I love when they lie to me. but if they were going to do this, I don't know why they'd do it to Shuri. I love Shuri. And I think she's great and all, but I just don't know why they'd lie. They could have done that to any other character. Well, I guess there's not that many that we don't know their fates, but I don't know. It just seems weird. It would seem weird to do. Like, why lie to us about Shuri? It's one thing when you lie about the Hulk showing up. Like, that's a big deal, and it's all about the hero moment. But yeah, Shuri, I don't know why they'd lie. I just don't know the impact of that.
There's also the marketing materials where, you know, they had all the posters, all the character posters, where the black and white ones were people who had been snapped, snapped or killed by Thanos in the movie. And the color ones were the people who were still alive, and Shuri was one of the black and white ones.
Yeah. But, you know, so not that that's still promotional material and could be lies, but I just don't see it. I don't see why they'd lie.
Yep.
But I do like the theory.
Let's see. Ashley Ann Coffin says, "Favorite MCU use of a song, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Fleetwood Mac, The Chain."
I'm trying to remember when that happens.
I guess you're not a true super fan.
Yeah, it's true. I haven't seen number 2 nearly as many times. I also am not a big fan of Fleetwood Mac. Not that they're not good. I just never didn't grow up on them or anything. So I don't know. Where does that happen? Help me out. Do you know?
No, I was giving you shit.
Jerk.
All right. So it was in the, end fight when Peter and his dad were kind of, trading blows, you know, with the full power of the light or whatever.
Cool.
It was right about the time when everybody was kind of, you know, getting beaten down, and he, you know, perks up and starts to turn the fight.
Hmm. Neat. Yeah, I don't recall it, but mostly because I don't think I know the song as well, so it didn't stand out as much to me in the movie. But yeah, cool. Thanks for writing that one in, Ashley. I think we should probably talk about one of our favorite ways to get some food in our faces.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Well, my friend, have you heard about this HelloFresh?
I have heard about this HelloFresh thing.
Well, why don't you tell me about it?
Well, this HelloFresh thing is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Delivered directly to your door, sir, every week.
That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It's actually pretty easy to get out of that recipe rut that you may have been in, and that I know other people find themselves in pretty frequently. I myself am one of them. And start cooking outside your comfort zone by discovering new delicious recipes directly from their app. You choose which ones you want every week, and then fresh, pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow 6-step pictured recipe cards are delivered to your door in a special insulated box.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. I really have enjoyed the things that HelloFresh have sent us. We got a few because they're running ads on the show, and then me and you both have gotten some boxes just because we liked them so much. So, it's really, really great. Really, really fun and easy to cook meals, and I have gotten so many points from my lady by cooking, you know, because when they come, it's like a whole week, basically, you know, 3 nights of the week, I'm cooking dinner, like in a fancy way. And, you know, I get all the points for that.
Yeah, man. It's not often that you get shallots that you cook with, and the sauces that get made with shallots are phenomenal sauces. Like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, along with it being, you know, giving you a lot of good brownie points, you really don't have to do anything past that. They do all of the meal planning, shopping, and prepping so you can focus on a healthier you and a happier family.
Mm-hmm. We have definitely been happier.
Yeah.
For sure.
My picky eaters, my two picky eaters in particular, well, my one picky eater and my one very adventurous one, have actually both gone out since we've started on HelloFresh and been exploring other things. Like, I didn't think that the one kid would want to have fried squid. So we lied to him and we're like, calamari is just, you know, it's like onion rings. You're just going to like it. And he was like, why would you not tell me this is squid? This is amazing. I want this.
That's great.
And I chalk it all up to HelloFresh.
Yeah. we had the Juicy Lucy burgers.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh,
those
man.
Were good.
They had us flatten out the patty, put some cheddar cheese in the middle of the burger, and then turn it over on itself, like make a little pocket for the cheese out
Wrap
of
it
meat,
all up.
And then fry that. Oh, man, it was so good.
Yep.
So good.
The one that we keep coming back to, actually, we've had it a couple of times now. It's been a recurring thing because we're like, oh, that's available again. Let's get that. Is the creamy dill chicken with roasted potatoes. And we've had it with green beans and also asparagus, both of which have been great. But the creamy dill chicken, like, I will admit, this is one of those things where I turn the plate up and lick every bit of the plate. And then my wife did the same thing.
Dude, being on my sort of caloric restriction thing that I've been doing for 15 months now, when I get done with a meal that's as good as these things, I lick every plate. Just every freaking plate. I'm like, I already counted the calories for these sweet dripping juices off of all the... Like, I'm gonna get those calories.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff.
You gotta.
Well, guys, if you want $20 off your first four boxes, get HelloFresh.com/MCUcast80 and type in the promo code MCUcast80. That's go to HelloFresh.com/MCUcast80 and put in the promo code MCUcast80.
That'll get you $80 off of your first month of HelloFresh. Your first four boxes, $20 a piece. That's a fantastic deal.
Great deal. Great food. Go do it. Put in that promo code. Let them know that we sent you.
So, let's see. 084 said on Twitter, oh, here's another one. My favorite music drop has to be The Chain in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. In the climax. Also, the girl in the Endgame trailer is played by the daughter of one of the Russo brothers, so hopefully not Hawkeye's wife.
All right, we got another vote for The Chain.
Yeah, apparently that's the front runner right now.
Yeah, I just listened to it, and I do like that song, and I remember it in the movie, but man, it's all fuzzy. It's all so fuzzy.
I thought that it was in a different point. And actually kind of just like typing in Guardians of the Galaxy to The Chain. Like there's actually more than one scene where it's in there. When Rocket was staying on the ship and the rest of the team was going to go with Peter's dad, there was that song queued up playing. Hmm. And Rocket was kind of, you know, looking ashamed of them, so to speak, as they were walking away.
I feel like I need to go like listen to all the lyrics of that song and go compare it to the scenes that it's in and see what it's trying to say. See what James Gunn is trying to say with that song.
Apparently, James Gunn speaks through song. I was actually listening to the Awesome Mix Volume 1 on the way to work the other day, and I found myself like really confused when I looked at the thing and it said "Escape," and then it said the Pina Colada song, and I was like, "What?" But no, that song was playing when they were escaping from the kiln.
Yeah.
And it's called Escape. No way.
Oh, yeah. That's a like, good one.
That light bulb, I was that day years old when that light bulb happened. You know, like that meme. Let's see. Enough about my stupidity and inattentiveness. @BrutusFireman on Twitter said, @MTCast, cannot wait to see the post-credit scene after Endgame. I'm hoping for Silver Surfer serving Galactus. Next 10 years will be Galactus.
Mm. You know, Galactus is definitely a possibility going forward, but I can't imagine him being as big of a threat as Thanos has been, even though, you know, because the whole thing with Galactus is he's eating planets.
Yep.
But with Thanos, like half of the entirety of the universe, like that's big stuff.
You know, there's something that I read that suggests that it's not the entire universe that got snapped.
Huh.
Yeah. It's something that I had read suggests that it was only the Earth and that he was going to other planets and snapping them as well.
Hmm. That's interesting, but I don't think I buy it. Well, no, because it's definitely not true, because the other people were on...
Yeah, they were on Titan, and it happened. But they're from Earth.
Not all
but
of them.
But then, no, Drax and Mantis also got snapped.
Yeah, so that's a bum theory.
Yeah, okay. Don't listen to me and the internet that I read. You know, I go down some pretty deep holes, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. I love deep holes. It's good stuff.
I love deep holes, the name of your sex tape. I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too.
It's a great show.
It is. So let's see. Jeremy Wilson said on Twitter at MCUcast, my nominations for the best MCU music drops, no order. Number one, The Immigrant Song. That was a good one. It had it had several spots in the movie that it came up and was a really solid choice for that movie.
That like sets the beginning of that movie. Off.
Well, it bookends it.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I just when it happens at the beginning, I was like, oh yes, yes, right? Please.
Like this is what Thor would smash everybody's face into.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. Number two, Rubber Band Man. I gotta say, that was a really solid, like, for anybody, I don't know who, but if there might have been people who hadn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy and didn't know that that was their thing, having the Guardians show up to Rubber Band Man happening and Star-Lord dancing in his seat to it, like, having that happen was masterful.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's see, number three, Shoot to Thrill. That would have been the beginning of Iron Man 2, if I recall correctly, when he dove out of the plane.
Yeah, that is a great music drop.
Yep. It's a great just drop, because he jumped.
That's true. That too.
Number four, Brandy by Looking Glass, the finest musical composition ever written by the hand of man.
It's a good song.
I like it. Number five, Just a Girl.
Oh, all right.
From Captain Marvel.
Little Captain Marvel, latecomer to the party. But yeah.
Right, right. And honorable mention, Star Spangled Man. From the first Avenger.
Yeah, like it.
I like it. That was a really solid montage, too. Especially with him, like, holding the motorcycle up with three girls on it. And, you know, at the end with the tanks showing up out of nowhere. It's like, okay, that's a pretty big production there.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Let's see. On Twitter, we have @LukeCage050. Says at MTUcast, anytime you talk about canon, my eyes glaze over because you make a lot of assumptions about what characters do and don't know about things. And just because it doesn't match up with what you think doesn't make it a canon breaker. Matt.
Yeah, he didn't say
he didn't
Matt.
Have the Matt. That was me.
That was Jeff, but he's definitely talking to me. You know, I try not to make assumptions that aren't in the text. Honestly, I'm a big headcanon guy. Like, I will try to fix problems whenever I can with my own thoughts. And, like, you know, my thoughts don't have to be right, but it's the things that bother me is when I can't think of any way that the two scenes could make sense together. Like, that's what bothers me. And so, you know, I hear you. I honestly have been trying to not talk about canon as much, especially with the Star Trek Universe podcast, because
canon?
Like, Star Trek is wrought with canon problems right now, and I have to just really try not to talk about it, or I'll just get too mad. So trying to enjoy the shows and trying to have a fun time podcasting about it, I just have to like I still mention them, but I'm like, okay, here's a little bit of a couple canon problems. All right, moving on. Let's move on. But I hear you, man. I appreciate your feedback. I really do try to move off the canon stuff before. But it's part of what I love about these kinds of stories. And like to me, if you don't have a strong canon and you're not sticking to it, you don't have a connected universe. Like that's part of a connected universe.
Don't apologize for being you, Matt.
Yeah, it is a big part of me. It really is. I have to think things are logically consistent or they don't work for me.
All right, so Jason Hicks said to us on Twitter, at MCUcast, regarding Matt's rant about S.H.I.E.L.D. / canon. I'm pretty sure the first instance of S.H.I.E.L.D. being mentioned in the MCU canon is at the end of the Agent Carter one-shot when Howard calls Peggy to invite her to come run S.H.I.E.L.D. with him, right?
I think
Jason,
correct.
Let me stop you right there and just be like, how does that one-shot fit into the two seasons of the Agent Carter show?
Yeah, therein lies the problem. So the Agent Carter show, which obviously they made for two seasons and has been connected to all kinds of other things, including Cloak and Dagger with the Roxxon Corporation, all of that kind of makes the one shot not make any sense. And so like at this point the entire one shot is like a huge canon breaker if Agent Carter is in canon. There's maybe some way that they could make it work, because I think he invites her out to LA to help him found the event, the S.H.I.E.L.D.
DC.
Oh, to DC. Okay. Invites her to DC to found S.H.I.E.L.D. And in the movie, she's still working in New York, but by the end of the show, she was already in L.A., and they weren't allowing her to be in the field. Like, a lot of weird things would have to happen for the one shot to make sense. They'd have to, like, take her out of the field, even though she's been, like, a main SSR, like, field agent for years. They'd have to, like, somehow put her back in the office. Like, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but, like, it would have to mean that, like, maybe they change leadership at the SSR and someone a little more sexist gets involved and stops letting her out in the field. But yeah. Or maybe she just makes too many crazy situations with dark matter.
They're like, we got to tone you down.
Yeah, you need to get back in the office. No, it's not because you're a woman. It's because you keep causing these insane circumstances. Nah, and of course, I'm kidding. She never really caused anything. She was a very competent agent, that Carter.
All right, so next up, Yoda Hugh hit us up on Twitter saying, at MCUcast, Winter Soldier, Project Insight. There is a point in the ocean between Africa and South America, maybe the Dino Island, where the X-Men are hiding out, or Fantastic Four accident creates the X-Gene and spreads like a disease, hence the hate toward mutants.
Okay. Yeah, those are two solid ideas. I don't know what the X-Men hiding out, or all of mutants hiding out on Dino Island, would do to the sort of mutant culture. That would be kind of a weird way to bring them in. But I know that there was a Dino Island with a bunch of mutants, but it'd be weird if they're all hiding out there for the entirety of the MCU.
Just hidden. You know, their own little...
Yeah, like them being hidden works, because that's the same thing with, like, the Inhumans. They were, like, hidden on the moon and hidden in that sanctuary city. But when you take them all and hide them there, like, that changes their culture. You know, they're going to have their own weird X-culture instead of, like, be a part of the world, which is kind of like how X-Men or the mutants are supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the mutants are supposed to be kind of an allegory for the racism conflict. So, like, how do you do that with them just being an isolated nation?
Yeah, it would be different. So I still have no idea how they're gonna bring them in. Really, I really don't.
Yeah, can't just jump straight to Genosha and Savage Island or whatever it was called.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Come on, Yoda Hugh. Quote-unquote, Gunty hit us up on Twitter, said, finally getting to add MCUcast talk, # Captain Marvel. I personally think the Skrulls will become a Muslim analog where Kree and others use the actions of radicals to justify war on the rest.
I totally agree. I kind of thought they already were in Captain Marvel. I thought that was very sort of built into the sort of conversations they were having. about those characters.
That could be said, yeah. All right, so Julie Round hit us up on Twitter at MCUcast. I'm going back and listening to all your casts about all the recent movies. You guys are so great about breaking everything down. Some of the theories on the Ant-Man and the Wasp feedback blew my mind. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Man. Aww. Thank you, Julie. I really wish you had told us which theories blew your mind, because I'm sure we've forgotten them at this point.
Yep. They're all disappeared from my head.
And it's not like I can go back and listen to that.
Yeah, I don't listen to us talk. It's weird.
It's actually, I actually really enjoy going back and listening to old episodes, because it's like, we were so young. We were so naive.
Listen to us just describing the way that the movie goes.
Or like, well, that's still what we do, but listen to our theory about how this connects, and it was totally wrong. That's always kind of fun.
Well, specifically what I'm talking about is, you remember our first episode whenever we were covering Guardians of the Galaxy, and we basically just described the plot?
I don't really. That's funny.
Oh, though. Man. We basically did a Kevin Smith where we're just like, here's the plot of the movie.
Yeah, which I love. I love Kevin Smith for doing that. he's much more entertaining than we are, though. He's an entertaining man.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's got a few years on us, and as far as being an entertainer,
indeed.
Yep. And he's made a couple of movies, like one or two. let's see. Sarah Hart on Twitter said, "For all of my Marvel loving friends, if you like podcasts, you should totally listen to At MCUcast. They do an amazing job at explaining things in the movies that didn't make sense to me, and I love listening to their fan theories. Check them out. You won't be disappointed."
Thank you, Sarah.
Smiling face emoji. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Sarah. Heart, you too. Steve-O Wayne said, "At MCUcast, has anyone else noticed how they have hidden the Fantastic Four logo right in front of us? Knocked the leg off of that A, and it's definitely a four."
Yeah, that's insane. I had not noticed it. But, like, the circle around the Avenger, the A, if you just take off that leg, like, it really does look like a four. And the one that they shared with us here, it's really crazy. Like, the coloring and everything, they color the four slightly different than the rest of the A. It really looks like a Fantastic Four logo.
Yep.
That seems deliberate.
Fantastic Four, a Fantastic Fourth Phase Four, whatever, what do we call it? Fantastic Four, that's what it was.
Yeah,
Fantastic Four confirmed.
You found it.
I found it. Use take three. It took me a while to get there. Zuhair Ali said on Twitter, "Jeff, I typically take your side on things. Sorry, Matt. But do you not remember Fury's car in Winter Soldier? I'm pretty sure his car is pretty damn unique, even if half the population of New York disappeared."
Yeah, he's talking about last week we were discussing how they would know that the pager that was calling Captain Marvel belonged to Nick Fury. And, yep. I was just pointing out that it's Nick Fury's car. It's gonna be, they're gonna know what car he's in, and Jeff, I think you were just feeling like fighting me on it because we talked about it way too long, and I was like, no, it's very clear. They have license plates.
I was pretty ornery about it, just in general.
So thank you, Zahar, for writing that in. But I am kind of annoyed that you typically take Jeff's sides on things.
Oh, it's because Jeff's usually right.
So says Jeff.
So says Zuhair Ali. Also says, "Banner was called in on Avengers to find the Tesseract in a lab he's never seen on a flying ship. Pretty sure he can find a super high-range pager. Love y'all's banter." Crying face emoji.
That's right. Zuhair knows what he's talking about with this one. And if he weren't disagreeing with... Jeff, on this one time, I would say it was probably Jeff, as also known as Zuhair. like he's a fake account. So I was watching, yeah. And Jeff's normally right about everything.
I should make a White Knight Jeff account.
Yeah,
somebody to just back me up. You know, Jeff had a really good point there when he said that Matt was a jerk.
Matt, you should really be nicer to Jeff.
James Galachi said on Twitter, Adam's UCast, recently found your podcast and I love it. You guys are pretty entertaining to listen to and have a lot of great stuff. Theory. If there is a time jump in Endgame, what if one of the consequences of time travel brings the mutants and Fantastic Four into the MCU?
Yeah. Absolutely possible. We've talked about a whole different bunch of ways this could be, but time travel, alternate realities, it's all on the table, man. It really is. Man, there's one of these feedbacks we got that makes me very excited, partially because it's a crossover of Star Trek.
Oh, I think you're talking about the Steve Abramowitz email.
Yeah.
He says, hi guys, you being big Trekkies and me not, what could this mean? Avengers Endgame, Kevin Feige has said that the series finale episode of Star Trek The Next Generation in 1987, all good things, inspired this film.
Yes. The series finale was in 1994, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 1987 being the origin of the origin year of Star Trek The Next Generation. Yes.
So
1994 is when the All Good Things episode aired.
This is huge. Steve provided us a link to an article that was like trivia about the film, and Kevin Feige apparently said that his ideas for Avengers Endgame came from the series finale episode of Star Trek Next Generation, All Good Things. Great episode of The Next Generation, and this is huge. And this, if this is true, I'd not heard this piece of trivia, but if it's true, it really could clear some things up about what we might be getting. And it really is exactly what I've been wanting, which is very exciting for me. So the plot of All Good Things is this character named Q, who has run of all space and time and can do all kinds of... He's basically a god in the Star Trek universe. It's an alien life form that is kind of a mischievous god-type character. He's a super advanced alien that can go forward, backwards in time, go anywhere in the universe, whatever. Can do all kinds of things, can manifest things into reality, whatever. He's just like the god of mischief in the Star Trek universe. He brings Picard on a time travel adventure through different points in his future, including like 10 years into the future. Then he takes him into the distant future when he's like an old man. And then he takes him back to the beginning of the human race, before, or the beginning of life on Earth, when people were about to bubble into sentience or whatever. Or when beings were about to attain sentience on Earth at the very beginning. So, like, it's this time travel story that connects all these different points in time in Picard's life, and then it sort of tells the overarching story of everything Picard has gone through. Oof. So, if that is what they're doing, that is everything I want from an Avengers Endgame. I love time travel. I've said it many times, and I just would love... if that's something like what they're planning to do with Avengers Endgame, telling us, and I just never heard that said that Feige got inspiration from All Good Things, and great episode, and it's just, you know, it is the last episode of The Next Generation, a show that ran for 7 seasons, and it just perfectly puts a cap on the end of this great series where they're, you know, they literally do. They show the future. They show the past. They show the current timeline. And Picard is having mental flashes between the three, where Q is bringing his consciousness back and forth. So he keeps experiencing different points in the timeline. And he's making the decisions in different points in the timeline that change things in the other parts of the timeline. It's really, really great and really well done. But that really excites me for Endgame even more.
Oh man, that makes me think that it's going to be like Back to the Future 2 style.
Back to the Future 2 is my favorite Back to the Future.
I knew you were going to say that because I remember you saying that last week.
Back to the Future. Back to the Future 1 is amazing, but 2, it just gets so complicated and fun. I love a good complicated time travel story.
Yeah, especially when that complicated time travel story is 3 hours long. Avengers Endgame is going to be over 3 hours.
It's got to be time travel, right?
It has to be.
I really want it to be. I really don't know.
That's the crazy thing is we're 2 weeks away from this movie coming out and we still don't know.
That is nuts.
We still don't know, Matt.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
You couldn't live with your failures. And where did that bring you? Back to me. I'm okay. 084 said, Adam TCast, I would apologize for the length of the feedback I just sent, but I feel like the apology would be a lot better with cash. More Patreon dollars headed your way.
Yes, 084 amended his Patreon donation up. So thank you very much. He threw in some extra cash. Appreciate you so much, 084.
It makes it okay. I'll buy a water bottle with what you have given.
Yes, if you want to know the feedback he's talking about, we just did our Cloak and Dagger episode, the one right before this. So check out that Cloak and Dagger episode.
Yeah,
it has a large feedback thing from 084.
Let's see, Twitter. Levi Birdie says, Adam to you, Cass. Quick question. If Thanos had the gauntlet after Ultron, that means he had destroyed Nidavellir and their people years ago, right? Yes, that is what that means. And, well, you know. Headcanon, Master, you want to chime in?
A couple things. it is very possible that, yes, it's very possible he had that years ago. It's very possible that basically any time after Thor the Dark World, it could have happened because Odin was not on the throne. So it's very possible that they were not protecting their friends and allies like they should have been.
Well, I think they're meaning that at the end of Age of Ultron, Thanos puts the gauntlet on, says, fine, I'll do it myself.
No, yeah, I understand.
And that's years ago.
I know, but so was Thor the Dark World. And the point is, Nevatalir, when it's destroyed, attacked and everyone's killed, it had to have been after Odin was not on the throne anymore, I think. Because I think that's when Loki takes over, I think is when sort of all of Asgard's realm starts sort of falling to shit.
Yeah.
But that is also the possibility that that shot of him grabbing the gauntlet could have been out of time. It could be from right before Endgame. Like it's just that we saw a glimpse from the future in that Endgame. You know, it could have been out of sequence with the rest of the movies that came after Ultron.
Yeah, I mean, communication does take a while to go through space.
Yeah, well, it's very possible he didn't hear about the failure of Ultron. And we've never really even had a confirmation that he was responsible for Ultron, but I've always believed that.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't really anything that was like, he's directly involved in the fate of Ultron, or he had like direct stakes in Ultron doing whatever it was that Ultron was doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that he was watching or cared or whatever. It was just like at the end, he's like, fine, I'll do it myself. And like, that's it. That's all. That's all we know. But yeah, that being years before Infinity War coming up and saying, you know, that, when they go to Nidavellir, it seemed like it was relatively recent that things had been kind of destroyed.
Yeah, it seems weird that Peter Dinklage was sitting there for years waiting by himself.
He's just like, I'm hungry.
It does make it more sad, like if he's just been sitting there living a life by himself for multiple years waiting on someone to finally notice that something happened. I don't know. I kind of... It's one of those things, again, Matt talking about canon, sorry guys, but that's one scene I really don't like from the MCU, is that I'll do it myself scene, because it just doesn't seem to match in tone or match in character motivations, or like a lot of the things don't really seem to line up with that moment. It takes a lot of like sort of bending over backwards, head cannoning to make that scene make sense. And it feels like one of the things that they forced on Joss Whedon to put into the movie because it was an overarching connection they wanted in there, but they didn't think it through properly.
Like, yeah, this is going to be great. Ah, shit. This is going to be, like, a while. Just go with it.
Like, if they had really thought it through, like, they fully thought through that scene, instead of him, you know, picking up the gauntlet, it should have just been, like, the forges of Netevalier or whatever, and, like, showing the people working, like, under some sort of armed guards, and then, like, show the, like, metal cast fall off, and you just have the, like, newly minted gauntlet.
Yeah.
The problem was they hadn't yet shown Hela saying that the original gauntlet was a fake, so all of us uber nerds like myself would have been like, yes, but they already showed this gauntlet in Thor. Why are they just now making it? Doesn't make sense. but instead we're saying it doesn't make sense of something else, so who knows.
It's fine.
Not a big fan of that scene.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's gonna make for great movie.
I'm letting it go.
Let it go, Matt.
Let it go.
Like that other Disney movie.
Let it go.
That we're not going to sing.
Let it go.
084 sent us an email and said, Matt, here are some ridiculous headcanons to help the Captain Marvel Shield publicity continuity. They get stupider as they go. Number one. Tony knew what S.H.I.E.L.D. was, or at least the urban legend of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was messing with Coulson by pretending he didn't know about it at all. Just like Coulson was messing with him by saying the entire name. What he didn't know was that Howard helped found it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Possible. Number two, Tony's traumatic experience in the cave forced him to suppress certain random things, among them his father's involvement with S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.H.I.E.L.D.'s whole existence.
That one is a little sillier.
Yeah, I can, so far, correct, stupider as they go. Number three, the Tony that came out of the cave was a Skrull, who was still figuring Earth out and hadn't gotten to the S.H.I.E.L.D. chapter of the history books yet.
That one is yet stupider. I like it.
Yep. Number four, the badge that Fury flashed to everyone is a neuralizer. Men in Black is MCU canon. I like it.
That one I like.
That's the good one. We'll go with that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Headcanon away, my friends. All of you.
Send in your stupidest headcanon.
Right? Like, send us your dumbest story, and we will try to make it work. That's the episode. That's the episode that we need to do, Matt, where they send us headcanons, and you try to make it fit. You explain the story to make it fit.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Andrew Greg said in an email, Hi, guys. Hello. My favorite song in the MCU is Rubber Band Man by the Spinners in Infinity War. I like that song because when Infinity War is my favorite movie in the MCU still, and Rubber Band Man is just the song from that movie. It's also hysterical that the camera pans around to show what the Guardians are doing.
Yeah, it's a good scene. I like the Guardians in Infinity War. It's kind of fun to see them with another director's, you know, hand on the wheel.
Yeah, but if I recall correctly, James Gunn did have a bit of consulting work in that movie.
For sure, he did. It's still like, you know, someone else putting you know, the final touches or whatever, making the final calls. I just think it's kind of neat to pass that torch a little bit. But I'm excited for it to go back. Woo!
Let's see. Drew continues saying, to go along with what you guys said in the X-Men episode with how the Thanos will return moment in Endgame will be Spider-Man will return in Spider-Man Far From Home and other things like that, the runtime is 3 hours, 2 minutes. I think that's the 2 minutes, because it would definitely take more than a few seconds to announce 3 years or so worth of movies. Thanks for the great podcast. I look forward to listening to you guys each and every week. Keep up the great work. Drew. P.S. The person that talks after Tony in the in-game trailer is Peggy Carter in The Winter Soldier. Yeah, we just weren't smart about that.
We were not. I really enjoy our idea that we had for the El Capitan theater moment after Endgame. Like, that would... it would be so sweet, Jeff. It would be so sweet. It is 1 a.m. where we are, and so we are going to have to wrap it for tonight. But we'll be back next week with more, probably more of your feedback and more Avengers talk. And we got so much to go. Only 2 weeks left, and we will be bringing you the actual Avengers Endgame review. Cannot wait.
God, all right, guys. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. Thank you so much. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you want to support the cast, go to patreon.com/mcucast and leave us a donation there. We never do more than one a week. A paid episode more than once a week. So check those out. And we will be back with you soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.